The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Take your Bible tonight and turn to Job chapter 1. I want to show you one little principle in the book of Job chapter number 1. Appreciate the church, the pastor, the chapel, his family, and I have the mindset that I'm on a little time crunch tonight with what we want to study tonight. So let's just go right in. And here's what I'd like to ask you to do. Every once in a while, respond a little bit tonight. It's a thought that's going to possibly bring your mind into a realm that we don't like to get into very much, but we need to. Job chapter 1. Satan, verse 9. Satan answers the Lord and says, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" Verse number 10, Satan says to God, "Hast not thou made an hedge about him?" Now, a hedge is something of a protection. A hedge is something to keep Satan from Job. So he said, "You've made an hedge about him," Job, "about his house," which would include his wife and his children, "and about all that he hath on every side," which includes all his businesses, all his animals, all his husbandry, all the things that he had. "Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." I want you to see, Satan said, "I know that there's a hedge about him. I know there's an authority, and you've not given me permission to go after him. You've also not given me any permission. There's authority, and we're not allowed to be at his house. We're not allowed to go after his children. We're not allowed to go after his wife. And then there's a hedge about all that he hath. We're not allowed to touch his business. We're not allowed to touch the camels, the oxen. We're not allowed to touch any of that." And then Satan says this, "Put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath." What he was saying was, remove the hedge, remove the authority, remove and give us permission. So God says this, verse 12, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy," say the word please, "hand." So what God does is he allows Satan to put forth his hand on what Job has. He allows him to put forth his hand on his family. And he allows him to put forth his hand on his businesses. But he's not allowed to put forth his hand on Job himself. God still has a protective authority around Job himself. And look what happens next in verse 15. "And the Sabians fell upon them." Now, brethren, we would have looked and said, what happened? Well, the Sabians were an enemy force. And this group of Sabians, this group of any enemy came. And notice what they did. They slay the servants of Job with the edge of the sword. We would have said, wow, they got invaded. Would you agree that was Satan's hand? Talk to me a little bit. Was that Satan's hand using the Sabians? But we would have looked and said somebody invaded somebody else, but actually Satan was behind that. Look, if you would, stay with me and look at verse 17. "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels." We would have said, wow, the Chaldeans came and they pilfered, if you would, and they were like a marauding band. They came and they took all his stuff. They took all his camels and they slayed those servants that are watching the camels. That was actually Satan's hand. Would you agree with that? That was Satan's hand with the God's protective authority. Now, I want to make this statement to you. Just because something invades somebody else or somebody fights somebody else, I'm not saying Satan's always behind him, but Satan uses natural means against us, the natural means that we would normally say, well, wow, that happened, but we don't always attribute to Satan. If you'll notice carefully, there's a fire that falls. There's a fire, there's a great wind, if you would. In verse number 19, there's a great wind or a tornado or a storm, a hurricane, whatever you want to call it, that come up, if you would, and smotes the four corners of the house. And the young man and all his children fall down dead. Now, I make this statement to you. Not every natural catastrophe would we attribute to Satan. But I want you to see that Satan uses natural things to come against, in this case, God's servant Job. Yes or no? What held that back for all that time was God's authority, God's hedge, God's protection. Satan comes up again and he says, now, let's do something else. Now let me go after him. And what happens next? And you know the story. God says, all right, now you can put your hand on Job, but don't kill him. Next thing you know, Job's health is miraculously attacked. I'm not saying everybody's health who is attacked is satanic. I didn't say that. But I'm saying in this case, you would have looked and said, what happened to Job? Look, he's suffering so much with this disease, if you would. I'm not saying all diseases are of Satan, but if you would have looked, you would have said, wow, what happened to Job? Look up here, that was Satan's hand. See, we don't like to talk about Satan that way, do we? But it's true. Brethren, if something goes on in the world, we might say, oh, you know, well, Israel got attacked. How do you know Satan wasn't behind that? You're awfully quiet. Because I don't know and you don't know either. But I do know this. I'm speaking to you tonight a little bit about God's authority in protecting us. And right now as a church, with you out just going out and reaching out into this community and seeing people saved, don't you think principalities and powers might be a little stirred up against you? If I were principalities and powers right now, I would want to wrestle with you a bit. I would want to wrestle with you a little bit and try to hinder you and discourage you and see what I could do to blow something apart. What do you mean? I would like to create confusion, division in any way, shape, or form to try to put a stumbling block in front of this church in such a way that it hinders this church, because you just had a great open house. You've just reached out. People are over there studying. You're in here studying. The Word of God is going forth. And may I say, possibly the only reason something catastrophic hasn't happened in your area tonight is maybe God's authority is around you. Maybe God has put a protective hedge around you and said, you can do this, but you can't do this. I will allow you to do this. And I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight about God's authority in our life. It's not our authority, it's His authority in our life. And sometimes we don't even recognize it's there. Some of you college students, may I say something to you? You need to listen carefully. That there is a hedge, there is an authority. You say, well, principalities and powers can't get to me. Are you a fool? So with that in mind, take your Bible and look at Luke chapter number 9. Pastor didn't tell me what to preach, and he might be disappointed with this tonight, but I'm going to preach on anyways and not look at his face, amen? He's a friend. I expect he's smiling behind my back. Luke chapter 9, but I'm not going to check it out, amen? Luke chapter 9. So here's what I want you to see so far. When God removed his authority, when God removed his hedge, Satan attacked, and God wanted it to be recorded so we could see it. I'm not saying every natural catastrophe is satanic. I'm not saying everything that happens to a person health-wise is satanic. I'm not saying that. But how do we know what is and what isn't? Hey, we've had fire sweep through San Diego. I don't know. We just had a camp that we own burned down. The building's burnt. You know what the guy across the street said? The guy across the street out, this is an hour out from our place. We own a camp out there, 32 acres. You know what just he said? We weren't out there at the time. A fire swept through. He said it was amazing. He said he's got Clydesdale horses. He was over there. He said the fire was so great. There's nothing I could have done to stop my farm from burning. And here was his testimony. I watched, he said, as the fire was coming. And as the fire was crossing the road towards me and towards your camp, a wind came and blew that fire away from my buildings, away from everything else, and I watched your buildings go up in smoke. He said, it just turned. There was nothing I could have done. He said, it turned, and I watched your buildings get burnt, and then it swept south. I'm excited about that. Why? Look, if they're that interested in us, we must be doing something right. You say, do you believe that wind just swept? That was just coincidental. You believe what you want. You look at it just from a natural thing going on. When I heard that, I was thinking, all right. Why are you thinking, all right? Well, look, we've got to do hazmat now. We've got to do all the fire stuff. It's going to take us half a year, maybe three quarters of a year, more years. It'd burn up money and everything like that. But just the fact that that happened that way, maybe that was principalities and powers interested in us, and God allowed that. Say, how can you get excited about that? Brother, if we're not engaging the enemy, if we're doing nothing to provoke them, why would they come at us? When I heard that, I was just going, yeah. You say, that's a strange way to think of it. Job was getting ready to be promoted. Come on, yes or no? Job was being promoted through suffering. And God chose Job and gave him the privilege of being used like this. If we're getting ready to get promoted, I'm in. You're looking at it like, oh, it's going to cost you. Oh, that's just so sad and everything. No. Nobody got burnt. We just lost everything. We lost storage. We lost stuff. We lost this. We lost that. But he said the wind came and just literally whipped it down. And I watched the fire go through your property and just burn the whole thing. And there was nothing anybody could do. Yeah. Because now I can go back to God and say, we need more authority. We have a need now. We need more of your authority, Lord. We can't fight it, but we can requisition your power and your authority to fight it. You still with me? I can't believe you're excited about that. Look, if you're trained to engage the enemy, you know what excites you when you go to battle? That you see the enemy. Man, I was trained in the Marine Corps. You know what's exciting? There they are. Right there. I see them. That's what you're trained to do. You train. I never got to see them. Man, you get out there. There they are. Right there. So it sounds like you're up for a fight. We're warring a good warfare. I'm not out looking for a fight, but if they come after us, then I have every right to go to the Lord and say, Lord, would you grant us greater, say it, authority. Look at Luke chapter number 9. Stay right with me. Luke chapter number 9. And notice verse 1. Stay with me. Verse number 1. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what? Power and what? Say it again. What? Authority, power and authority over devils and to cure diseases. And then verse number 2, you preachers in here. And he sent them forth to do what? Preach the kingdom of God. He sent them with power and with, say it, authority. He sent them with authority to preach the kingdom of God. And I want you to see, if you would, when he sends this next group out, look at chapter 10. Chapter number 10. In chapter number 10, look at verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. And the reason they went out was to prepare that the Lord was coming, and they were sent out to preach. And they were so excited in verse number 17. Look at it. Verse number 17. And the 70 returned again with joy. And you know what they said? Saying, Lord, even the devils are, say the word, subject. Whoa, 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 whoa. Subject means they're obedient. Subject means there's an authority over them. Subject means they're submitted. But notice what they said they're submitted to. Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. It's your authority, Lord. Now, I want to make this statement to you. A lot of Baptists shy away from the authority of the God because the charismatic rip it apart and sensualize it, make it so sensational. Like, I command you in the name of Jesus. None of that stuff. You've heard that stuff, right? That's a sensational show. We don't do that stuff. We just get on our knees privately. Yeah. It's not for show. The authority God grants us is not to be seen of men. It's not to say, well, wow, ooh, here comes somebody. Look at his authority. And you know, you got the big hair. That seems to come with that stuff on TV. You know, you got to have the... Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You've seen it, Doctor, all right? I come with no hair. But if there's authority, you can't see it. But I'm going to show you something. They can. Oh, they see it very well. Who's the they? The principalities and powers that we wrestle against. So with that, notice they came back. They were with joy saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. But I want you to see what happens. Look at back at Mark chapter number 9. You're doing well. I'm watching your time. You don't have to. Mark chapter number 9. Everything's good. Everybody still good tonight? Watch now carefully. Mark chapter 9. Now you know this story, but watch carefully. Mark chapter number 9. So the apostles that were given power and authority, they come up into a situation. In Mark chapter 9, look at verse 17. One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Notice the strength of this spirit. Notice the strength of this spirit. And wherever he taketh him, wherever he taketh that son, he teareth him. What happens? Well, the son foameth. Well, he gnasheth with his teeth, pineth away. What's causing that? The strength of the principality and power. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out. And they what? Underline it. They what? They could not. You know what Jesus immediately says? O faithless generation. It has something to do with their faith and their understanding. So verse number 20, they brought him, that son, unto him, Jesus. When he saw him, you know what that spirit did? That spirit straightway tear him. And that boy, he fell on the ground, wallowing and foaming. You know what? Jesus simply asked the Father, how long? How long this has been going on? How long is it ago since this came upon him? He said, of a child. You know what the Father said? Oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. Then the Father says this, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Can't you see this Father having to guard this Son all the time from himself? Let me say it again. Can't you see this Father from a child guarding this boy that he doesn't destroy himself in the fire, in the waters? He's worn down, and he realizes now a little bit about what's going on. And Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And the Father says this, straightway, without hesitation, straightway the Father, the child, cried out. And he said it with tears. He's oppressed. Lord, I believe. And then he says an honest statement. Help thou mine, what? Say it. Unbelief. Lord, I believe, but not enough. I don't understand it. And everybody comes running together, and Jesus looks at that spirit. You mean he looks at the Son. I think he looks through the Son and he talks to the Spirit and says, thou dumb and deaf spirit. He didn't talk to the Son, he talked to the Spirit. I charge thee, come out of him. And then he said this, and enter no more into him. The Spirit had to obey. The Spirit cried, rent, soared, and came out of him. And then he lay there as he was dead, in so much as they said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up. Verse 28, when they come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we cast him out? And the Lord simply said this kind. Would you underline this kind? This kind can come forth by nothing. By nothing means only. This kind can come forth by nothing. Now, I'm glad God didn't stop there and say this kind can come forth by nothing. He didn't say that. He said this kind can come forth by nothing, but by prayer and what? Say it again, by what? Prayer and fasting. What do you mean? Well, you pray and fast, and I'll grant you more authority. But you're going to have to show your dedication, your desire, your humility. You're going to have to chasten yourself. You're going to have to do it by prayer and fasting. I want to read something to you. I want you to listen carefully. Here's what the New International Version, the NIV, says about that verse 29. He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. I read to you what the Revised Standard says. And he said, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Now, the truth of the matter, if I was Satan, I would want to cut out fasting out of the Bible also. Because in God's way of looking at worth and value, when people fast, they're seeking a certain desire of the Lord, and it's an earnest way to show the Lord that I'm serious about this, and I'm committed to this, and I'm chastening myself, and I'm disciplining myself, and I'm humbling myself, and you're leading me to do that, and I'm asking you for, if you would, the kind of power and of kind of authority. But wait a minute. Let's look at this kind. Do you see that word? Say it. Verse 29. And he said unto them, say the next two words. This kind. Hold your place there just for a moment and look at this kind just for a moment. Which means, evidently, there's different kinds. Notice Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. You say, why are we talking about this? Did you ever think that principalities and powers might be coming against you a little bit? Well, how would I know? It might be natural things like something at the business, or like in our case, maybe that fire that just consumed our camp was actually the wind. And maybe that wind was being influenced in some way, shape, or form by principalities and powers. You say, boy, do you really believe that? Open mine eyes, Lord, that I might see. Let me see beyond the natural. Let me see into the supernatural. And let me, by faith, through the eyes of understanding, just believe your book. And let me realize if there's a greater authority available, and it only comes but by prayer and fasting, then let me believe it enough to participate in those actions of prayer and fasting, because that's how you said it comes. But why do I need it against this kind? Notice, if you would, about this kind. Look at verse 11, chapter 11, Luke chapter 11. Notice verse 24. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came. And notice what that unclean spirit says. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then that unclean spirit does something. Verse 26. Then goeth he and taketh to him, would you underline it? Seven other spirits, the next two words, more wicked than himself. Well, why is more wicked important? Because evidently there's different degrees of wickedness and different degrees of powers that principalities and powers can have. I'll say it again. Evidently, once in a while, we hit something that we don't know what we hit, and we don't know what's going on, and we don't know what's hindering us, and we don't know what's causing it, and just maybe we've hit this kind. Maybe we hit against something more wicked than we've ever hit against before, because God has something greater for us to do, and they're trying to resist us. Now look, you're sitting here on a Wednesday night thinking, where did you get this? I mean, this is science fiction stuff. It's the book. As long as you don't believe there's principalities and powers, Satan has you right where he wants you. Just don't believe there's an enemy. Just don't believe he's causing anything. Just don't believe it. As long as you don't believe it, then if he can keep you from praying and fasting, he's got you right where he wants you. So they cut fasting out of the Bible. We've cut it out of our lives. I wonder when's the last time some of y'all did a little fasting, biblical fasting. I'm not putting you down, but God sent me here to challenge you a little bit. Well, everything's going along great. Really? Yeah, we just had this and just had that. Good, great. I wonder if you were hindered or resisted in any way, shape, or form. I'm not scolding you, I'm just saying. Have you ever thought that maybe we ought to make sure we keep this stirred up? And maybe many, many of you are, but some of you, the concept of fasting is brand new to you. You say, what is fasting? Not eating, drinking water only. Is this okay to preach this? What can he say? I'm already in it, amen. And he's already called me his friend. And a longtime friend. And a good friend. He can't say, get the hook out on this guy. Amen. Let's get him out of here. But this kind is when more wickedness, because the disciples went with the authority that they were granted. And they went and they tried to tell those devils in the name of Jesus. And they tried to help that young man, but they couldn't because they did not have that much authority yet. Jesus didn't say, you can never have that. He just said, this kind can come forth but by nothing, only by prayer and God's plan, the Father's plan. You're going to have to fast a little bit. You're going to have to humble yourself a little bit. You're going to have to get under the burden a little bit. You're going to have to understand it a little bit. And by the way, notice he said this kind had, this one came and he said, look what he said. He goeth and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked. Did you notice that those spirits grouped together? Mary Magdalene have seven devils in her. Yes or no? What were they doing? They were grouping together in power. They didn't want to let go of her. How about the one, the guy that was cutting himself in the tombs? That they bound him often with fetters, with chains, and he broke him with strength. And he would self-mutilate himself. When Jesus started talking to that spirit, he said, what's thy name? And that spirit said, Legion. Because we are what? They grouped together. Principalities and powers are grouping together. Why aren't we? Why aren't we grouping together with greater power and prayer and fasting as one? Amen. I mean, if the faculty stood up and said, look, we want to call a fast. We'd like all the students to fast at least one day this week. Amen. Just before a big event. You pick the day. But what you want you to pray and fast one day if you're capable. Or at least give it a go. I hope these four men that are getting ordained have at least experienced fasting. I wouldn't lay my hands on anybody, a man, that hasn't fasted. Learned about prayer and fasting. You say you're focusing on a doctrine. I am focusing on a key that God says, here is the key that opens up the door to more authority. And it's not to be seen of men. It's principalities and powers that see it. And this kind, some are more wicked than others. How do we know that? Look in your Bible. Look at Daniel. Stay right with me. I'm watching your time. The book of Daniel, please. And then the book of Jude. We all right tonight? The book of Daniel, chapter number 10, the book of Jude. If I was in a college, I'd make sure at least the male student body was involved in some way, shape, and form in fasting. And may I say, well, what about a young man maybe that has diabetic or is diabetic in some way or severe and he has to eat all the time? Then I would ask that young man to fast sleep. It's a discipline. Okay, let me stop right here because you're going quiet on me. Daniel 10 in the book of Jude. I need to say this, preacher, and I don't want to say it like there's no experts. Daniel 10 in the book of Jude, and I need to say this so it's clear. I've done 1 day fast, 3 day fast, 7 day fast, 14 day fast, 21 day fast, 30 day fast, and a 40 day fast, and many 21 day fasts, and more 14 day fasts, and some 7 day fasts, and we've been involved with that for years. And I'm not saying that I'm anybody. I'm nobody. I'm a normal preacher. Last Thanksgiving, a few of our men got together, and we decided we'd go on a fast starting Thanksgiving night. And we decided we'd do 7 days. And the staff got in, and more men, and more preachers found out about it. And what did you do? We just laid aside the food for 7 days and prayed for each other's burdens, prayed for power and wisdom, prayed for greater authority, prayed for greater discipline, prayed for more souls to get saved, prayed for principalities and powers to be bound. You understand? Bind the strong man so he can spoil his goods. Do you understand that principle? What does that mean? If you go into a house and you're going to rob the house, Jesus said, don't you first bind the strong men of that house and then take what's his? and in relationship what he was talking about, do you understand that principalities and powers have hold over lost souls? Yes or no? You're either the child of the devil or you're a child of God. Yes or no? Everybody in the world is either a child of the devil or a child of God. And we go out into the God, little g, God of this world's territory. Where's that at? You just knocked 100,000 doors. You went out into his area, his kingdom. He's the little g God of this world. And you went out to ask people to defect, to leave his family to come to the family of God. And it's good to go out and ask God to bind them first, so when you talk to them, principalities and powers can't distract them. You say, I've never heard anything like this. Look, when we go out, they're a child of the devil. They're a part of the devil's family, according to the book of John, 1 John. And what we're asking them to do is defect and free will pick up on adoption and join a new family. You think he wants to let them go? So first we pray and fast to bind the strong man so we can go out and spoil his goods for God. I don't know what's going on. I knock doors and nobody wants to listen. I knock doors and nobody wants to listen. I knock doors and nobody wants to listen. Stop. Prepare. Fast and pray a little bit before you knock doors and nobody listens. Oh, no, you just go and it works. Where's that pastor that was up here? Where's that pastor that was up here? Where are you at? You running into any problems yet, brother? Few? You're going to run into this kind. And let me tell you what this kind is in your life. This kind is that principality and power group that is more power than the authority God has given you so far. You don't have all the authority yet. But I got Jesus Christ. I know. I got it. I understand. I get it. But didn't the disciples run into this kind? And they couldn't do anything and they didn't know why. And Jesus said, "Oh, faithless generation." So sooner or later, you're gonna feel like you hit a wall in your church growth, in your outreach. There may be a section of the community you say, I just don't know how to get in there. We go, but it seems like it's closed. It seems like it's strong. I'm heading for Thailand on Saturday, and I've talked to missionaries over there, and it is one of the most spiritually bound, wicked type of spiritual oppression countries in the world. I'm looking at you, brother. I don't even know you, but we're connected now. You see these beady little eyes, this ugly little face. I hope you wake up and here I am in your face, saying it's time to fast and pray for more power and authority that you can break by God's power, not yours. And it's not to be seen of men. You're a perfect candidate for God to put power on you, because you know what? You don't look like the sharpest tack in the box. Do you know what I'm saying? Come on. Is that fair to say that, sister? Don't get, you know, you married him. I'm just being honest, amen. And you know what? You're looking at a guy that wasn't the sharpest tack in the box either. For one dull tack to another dull tack. You don't have to be sharp to do something. God uses the base things. He'll confound the wise with we foolish. I can't believe he said that. I wasn't talking to you. And God would love to raise you up where everybody goes, what has he done? Who's he? You see, they don't need to see your authority. But principalities and powers will go, uh-oh, here they come again. Here they come again. Here that church comes again. You say, do you really think they can see it? I want you to watch this. Now, what's your name?
David Collins.
What is it?
David Collins.
David. Can I call you Brother David? Okay, Brother David, this is between me and you. Everybody else is not even here, all right? Look at Daniel 10, David. In Daniel chapter 10, watch what happens. David. Amen. Verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. David, mourning right there is talking about he's fasting. It's another word that is used in for fasting. How do we know that? Look at verse 12, David. Verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to what? Understand? And to what? Chasten thyself. David, mark in your Bible Psalm 69:10, because fasting is about chastening yourself. Mourning is what he's doing. And so he stopped eating. And he hasn't been eating for 21 days. Go back to verse number 2, and he's chastening himself. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3-4 weeks. I ate no pleasant bread. Neither flesh nor wine came into my mouth. Neither do I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So Daniel started a fast in his life to understand. But I want you to see what happened. Verse number 10. David, look at it. He said, and behold, an hand touched me. I want you to refer back, David, go back to chapter 9 and look at verse 21. Chapter 9 and verse 21. You getting this? Okay, chapter 9, verse 21. And notice what he says, verse 21. Yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man who? Gabriel. I'm talking to David, not you. I'm just kidding with you. The man Gabriel, in whom I am seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. What'd he do, David? He what? He touched me. I want you to see that the same Gabriel, the same angel there, that Gabriel, is sent, and he goes down and look at verse number 10. And behold, in hand did what? Touched me. So you see, he touched me, and this is Gabriel coming. And Gabriel is an angel, and he's sent as a messenger. It's the same messenger that's sent in the book of Matthew. But he comes, but I want you to see what happens, David. Look at verse 12. Then said he unto me, Gabriel said to Daniel, for from the first day, 21 days ago, that thou didst set thine heart to do what, David? Understand. He was fasting for understanding and to chasten thyself. That's fasting before the Lord. Thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But while he was sent, while he was on his way, the prince of the kingdom of Persia. Who's the prince? It's a principality that's over the kingdom of Persia. It's a spiritual, if you would, principality and power that's over the kingdom of Persia. What that prince did, he withstood me 1 in 20 days. So when Gabriel was sent, the prince of the kingdom of Persia was stronger than Gabriel, and he withstood Gabriel from getting to Daniel. Would you agree with that, David? So look what happens. So the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 in 20 days, but look who comes and helps Gabriel. Lo, Michael. Michael, one of the chief princes. Michael's the archangel. Michael's one of the leader of the angels on God's side, and Michael comes and joins with Gabriel to break him free so he can get on down, if you would. So he can get on down to Daniel to give him the word. So here's what happens. Look up here for a moment, David. So Gabriel is sent, but look up here. Gabriel is on this level. The prince of the kingdom of Persia is on this level. Michael the archangel is on this level. It's a hierarchy. Let me show it to you again. Gabriel's on this level. The king of the prince of Persia that withstands Gabriel has more power than Gabriel, and he withstood him and he hindered him. So Michael comes over to help Gabriel, and they combine forces to release him so Gabriel can get the word down. But look at the book of Jude real quick, the book of Jude. Everybody getting this? More wicked, this kind. You say, I don't believe this. And watch what happens when principalities and powers hinder you, and the Sabians and the Chaldeans are used, or somebody else is used against us, and we don't recognize it's Satan, and we have no authority, and we just go on in our life and let that hinder us the rest of our lives to stop us from doing what God wants us to do. So look at the book of Jude, the book of Jude. Notice verse number 9, David. Verse number 9. Yet Michael the what? Archangel. He's a leader of angels. Michael the archangel. When contending with the who? With the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. But notice what he did. Michael would not bring, just not bring a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuked thee. Watch this very carefully. You're doing great, David. Here's Gabriel at his level of power. The kingdom of prince of Persia withstands him. Michael the archangel comes to help Gabriel to free him. But Michael the archangel, when contending about the body of Moses, he would not bring a railing accusation, look up here, against the devil. Because he knew the power that the devil had. And Michael the archangel wouldn't go against the devil by himself, but he said, "The Lord." Rebuke thee. He called the authority out. He called the creator out against the devil. But Michael the archangel was smart enough not to go after the devil alone. Come on, are you with me? I'm telling you there's a hierarchy. Sorry for standing on your furniture, preacher. I'm not really sorry. Friends don't tell other friends lies, amen? So did you get this kind? So here's what happens. God gave the disciples power and authority. And they went out. Man, they were doing it. But then they ran into this kind. And this kind knew they didn't have to listen. Because they could see the amount of authority. And they were grouped together and they were more wicked. But when Jesus showed up, They tore the boy because they knew who Jesus was. And he said to the father, "How long since he was a little child, and I don't know what to do." All the people came running together, and Jesus said, "Come out of him and return into him no more." And you know what? They had to obey. And the boy's laying there but dead, and Jesus comes down, lifts the boy up. And the disciples come and say, "Why couldn't we?" And he said, "This kind? You want kind of that kind of authority? You're going to have to pray and get more committed. You're going to have to pray and fast. That's the only way. I didn't make the rules, I'm just reading the rules. Now look, you don't have to fast 40 days. You don't have to fast 30 days. You don't have to fast 21 days. But Brother Dave, I hope you started some fasting and prayer. I hope you taught your men that. I hope once in a while, according to 1 Corinthians 7, you and your wife fast and pray together. If you haven't seen it, you study it and get that. You understand me, boy? Because what you got taught in college is great. That's a beginning. But now you're actually out in the warfare. It's the real thing, baby. He can go after your job. He can go after your church. He can burn your camp up. He can cause the economy to go sour in your church. Or God, by his authority, could lift the economy in your church. You know, when the lights, it was dark, pitch dark in Egypt, the lights were on over at Goshen. Everything was fine where God's power was. Does this church look like it's being hindered by the economy? They just built $3 million, Dave. What are we doing? Come on, right? There's hope for us. I went and looked at that $3 million deal. I'm thinking, okay, we can go do something. Right? The concept is God can grant us authority. Not to be seen of men. Not to be seen of men. I want to show you one more. Look at Acts 19. I'm watching your time. We're almost done, David, okay? Acts chapter 19. I hope you have nightmares about me, Brother David. It'll be worth it all. Acts chapter 19. Watch carefully. Acts chapter 19. Everybody still all right? You say, "I don't like you picking on David." It's none of your business. I know him. He's a good guy. I'm trying to sharpen the tack. I didn't tell him to be here. Right? I didn't call you up here. It's not my fault. Look at Acts chapter 19. Now watch this carefully. Don't miss this. Verse 13. Certain of the vagabond Jews. Notice they were vagabond, which means they were kind of Jewish, kind of not. Exorcist, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, principalities and powers. Is that right, David? Is that right, David?
Yes, sir.
The name of the Lord Jesus. So they called over him the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. David, do you see that they didn't even know who Jesus was? They were just using the name. Hey, just because somebody on television using the name doesn't know they know who he is. These vagabond Jews were using the name Jesus, whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests. So these sons were sons of the chief priest. And notice what happens in verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. He's got authority. And Paul, I know. He's got authority. But who are you? You know what that spirit just said? We know Jesus has authority to tell us what to do. We have to submit and obey to him. And you know Paul? He's got the authority too. But you know what they just said to those seven sons? We don't see your authority. You have no protection. You're fair game. What are you doing telling us what to do? You know what I don't want, David? I don't want the principalities and powers to say, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you, David? What are you doing telling us what to do? What are you doing claiming this city for Christ? What are you doing claiming Citrus where? Citrus Heights for Christ. Where's your authority? And this kind moves into town. Well, how would that happen? Look, if I'm an enemy commander against you, I'm going to move heavier troops in against you. I'm going to move more wicked troops in. And I'm going to try to challenge you. You say, it sounds like you're talking about a warfare. I'm going to group together a legion, and I'm going to put them against you personally. Don't get scared, sister. Everything's fine. And God might use that to oppress you just a little bit to cause you to pray and fast just a little bit more. So you get more serious about it. I'm not against you, I'm just saying. So you know, I don't know if you fast 3 days, 7 days, whatever, but you group some guys together and you join together in prayer and fasting and saying, Lord, we need more authority. We're getting hindered here. There's a roadblock here. There's some things against us here. We need some things to happen. Please, Lord. And you said this kind can come forth but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. You know what's encouraging? They said, Jesus, I know. But then they said, Paul, I know. And do you know Paul's a human like you and I? That gives us hope. Paul was a former Christian killer. We're not that bad. If God can give that power to Paul, he can grant it to us in our little area. Come on, do you believe that?
Amen.
When I was in the Marine Corps, I was in Okinawa, and I was in 3rd Mar Div over there in recon, and I had to go up to the regimental headquarters in over at Camp Hansen at the time, and I went into Camp Hansen, walked into the regimental headquarters, and I was a officer, had a couple of bars on, and when I walked in, they saw me as an officer. A staff sergeant and a sergeant came up to the desk and said, yes, sir, what can we do to help you, sir? And they got, I gave them the stuff that I needed, the admin stuff that I needed, and they got busy on it, and they were starting to do that. And while I was standing there at the desk waiting for them to give me what I needed, another officer walked in, listened to me, with the same rank as I had. Same exact rank that I had. But when he walked in, they stopped what they were doing for me. And they said, sir, would you please take a seat? We need to help this officer here. And when I looked at that officer, I understood why. Same rank as I had. He was the same rank, but I understood why. And I sat down, knew this might take 15, 20 minutes, half an hour, and they needed to serve him first. We are of the same rank. But when he walked in, he wore something that only one man on base wore. It was a gold braid. It wrapped around his shoulder, went under his arm, came up, and was an epitaph right here. It was a gold braid, very distinguished gold braid he had on. Even though he was the same rank as I had, when I looked and saw that gold braid, I just went and sat down. Because I knew They were going to help him. Why? Even though we had the same rank, that gold braid, only one man wore it on base, and it was the general's personal aide. So when that guy walked in, they knew he was representing the general. And they dropped everything they were doing and started servicing that man who represented the general. Now look up here. I knew the general. I had reported to the general when I got there. I knew the general by name. I knew him by face. He had come up and he knew who I was. This guy knew the general and he knew his name and who he knew his was. But let me tell you something that that gold braid said. Even though I knew the general, what that gold braid signified to all those staff in there was that the general knew him and authorized him. And he was coming under the authority of that general. And that general's power was represented there. And that general's rank was represented there. And that general's authority was represented there. And they hopped to it. You know what you and I need, David? We need God to put a gold braid on us. So principalities and powers understand that we represent the king. And I know as a Christian we get certain power and powers. Look up here. And then I know as we're sent forth to preach, we get certain powers and certain authorities. And now you as a pastor are granted even more. But if your church is going to increase in size and stature and influence, principalities and powers are going to come out against you. And you need to go back and ask for more authority and greater authority against this kind. And then you need that protection for your family. And then you need that protection for you. And then you need that protection for your church family. I think of it on our side. What about Brother Chapel and this church? I pray for this church often that God grants an authority, a hedge that you can't see. I pray for the college that God puts a hedge around you, that God is glorified and that you don't tear each other up. Don't hurt each other. You remember that father? That father that was so oppressed and Jesus came along, look up here, and said this kind. He knew what was going on. He said to that father, how long has it been? He said, of a child. You could just tell that father was fatigued. And the father said this, if thou canst, please, if you can help us to Jesus. He said, if you can, please. And then Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. And you know what the father said? Listen to me, David. Here's what the father said. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I believe what you're saying, but I don't understand it. Help me to understand and to believe what you're saying. Lord, I believe if it's possible for you to do something to my son and help my son out of this thing, I don't know what's going on. Because you know what he couldn't see? He could not see the principalities and powers behind what his son was going through. But Jesus could see. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Could I give you an altar call tonight? Lord, I believe. But would you help thou mine? What, David? Unbelief. Brother David, if you would tonight, I'm going to ask your wife and you to come. I'm just going to have a little prayer with y'all. And then we'll see who else wants to come and pray. We don't need music. I want to see this church go well. You can come. Altar's open.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share it with a friend or family member. We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.